Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Connection, a weekly radio program where we share our experiences and expertise with stories of caring, courage, and change right here in Connecticut. Listen to learn about needed resources to improve your well-being and transform your life. Now, here are the hosts of The Connection, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore and Ann Baldwin.
Welcome, everyone, to The Connection radio program. I am your host, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore, CEO of The Connection, and filling in as co-host today for Ann Baldwin, who is away on business, is Beth Connor, our Chief Strategy Officer at The Connection. We are very excited about today's show as we have our special guest, Mark Bono, addiction psychologist and co-owner of the Center for Compassionate Recovery in Madison, Connecticut. Welcome, Mark, and welcome, Beth.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
So what I'd like to do is just talk a little bit about some of your background before we kick off the show. So as I said, Mark is an addiction psychologist and the co-owner of the Center for Compassionate Recovery in Madison, Connecticut, focusing almost exclusively on the treatment of opiate addiction. He works in an integrated fashion with physicians certified to prescribe Suboxone. His practice focuses on compassionate, dignified, and recovery-oriented treatment. Screening, assessment, and the treatment of co-occurring illnesses is a routine practice, a routine component of the care provided by Dr. Bono. He's also the founder of the Office for Dual Recovery, which is a private practice and training organization specializing in the treatment of co-occurring disorders. In this capacity, he served also as a lead trainer and consultant on a statewide integrated dual diagnosis implementation project for California. He's been an associate professor at two community colleges and has worked as the director of mental health services for Rushford Incorporated, which is located in Meriden, Connecticut. Also, Dr. Bono is a frequent lecturer and trainer on co-occurring disorders. He was awarded a doctorate in psychology with an emphasis in addictions counseling from the United States International University in San Diego, California. In addition, he has been specializing in addiction treatment for over 20 years and has a broad experience of including work at the Betty Ford Center and as a clinical psychologist and drug and alcohol program director for the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Dr. Bono is going to be participating in our Addictive Disorders, Connecticut, the Connections 2017 conference, Monday, October 23rd, or Tuesday, October 24th, and it's going to be held this year at Wesleyan University. So welcome again, Mark and Beth Connor.
Thank you, Lisa. So we're excited to have Dr. Bono come to this conference this year because the conference is all about addictive disorders, and certainly this is his work. We thought maybe you'd like to talk a little bit about medication-assisted therapy, which is one of the areas of focus, I believe, for your talk at the conference.
Yes, and that's what that's what my practice specializes in Madison. The term medication-assisted therapy, I think it's important to really roll that around your head because it's medication-assisted therapy, right? With the emphasis being on the therapy, but when you're treating people who have opiate dependency, the medication component is critical. And I would go as far as saying it's almost undoable without it for 95%+ of persons trying to recover from opiate dependency, you need the combination of medication management and psychotherapy. So that is what I do in Madison, and we have a very sort of unique practice. But it's really it's actually disturbing to me that it is unique, because it really should be the standard of care. And it is, in fact, the standard of care, and that's what we're doing. We're meeting the standard of care, and unfortunately, that's pretty unusual here in the state of Connecticut.
Mark, what successes have you seen with medication-assisted therapy?
Well, what I take a lot of pride in and use as a tool in recovery for my clients is whenever I get a new client that comes in, I'm able to look them in the eye and say something that no other program would probably dare say. I you know, look my client in the eye and I say with complete conviction that if you follow this process, if you stick with us, we will get you there. You will recover from opiate dependency. And when the new client comes to group eventually after seeing me individually for a while, and they sit in group for the first time, they're introduced to all the new group members, to their new group members, and invariably they're always surprised and very hopeful when they hear how the group members have significant recovery time, and they're all doing so well, and they move forward in their lives. So I have seen outstanding outcomes just by meeting the standards of care the way we do in our practice.
And talk a little bit about, too, you know, opiate addiction has just become something that everybody's talking about these days. I'm sure your practice is so busy with folks coming to you. Talk a little bit about, you know, what the epidemic looks like and sort of where we're going with it as a society.
Well, I became aware that this was epidemic about 6 years ago when I started focusing specifically on opiate dependency. And, you know, you hear this a lot, but I see it every day. There is no face of opiate addiction anymore. There's there's no typical opiate addict.
Right.
We have quite a variety of people in terms of age, socioeconomic status, background, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, it's not... I think the problem is we have the answers, but we're not using the technology that we have, and we're not using it the way it was intended. And so the epidemic skyrockets, and it gets noticed because of the death rate, which is an unfortunate way
stunning.
For this epidemic to get notoriety, right? But
right.
But for every death, there's thousands of people out there whose lives are being destroyed. They're still with us, but their lives and their family's lives are being destroyed. So, you know, that's really a significant impact that the opiate epidemic is having, not just the number of tragic deaths.
But there is promise and there is some hope. So could you tell our listeners a little bit about what you're going to be presenting at the conference in October?
Sure. The promise and the hope comes from moving towards towards treatment that is demonstrated to be effective, that is best practices, and you know, developing continuums of care. And I have seen some progress. So we're looking at things like, you know, providing care in a vacuum. And what I mean by that is, you know, someone goes into detox, that has to be linked to outpatient care, at least. Someone goes into residential treatment, that has to be linked to outpatient care after discharge. The use of medication-assisted therapy has come a long way in terms of being more mainstream now and more accepted, but we still have a long way to go with that. So there's definitely hope and progress, but the movement towards having these best practices in place, which are really simple, I'm still pushing every day to make people aware that we really can impact this epidemic. We have the technology. We're just not, you know, we haven't implemented it in a robust way yet.
Why do you think that's so?
Well, there's a lot of factors. One of them is that it's financial. So when Suboxone became available to the public, in 2003, a lot of physicians sort of jumped on the bandwagon and they ignored the best practices. So individual practitioners started handing out Suboxone scripts and not doing meeting the best practices, right? So I give someone a script and they show up once a month and they go away. I have, you know, 100 clients and I'm making a lot of money, but those clients aren't really benefiting from what I'm doing. And I don't know if they're staying sober. I don't know if their lives are improving. So that's no one was mining that store. No one is enforcing the best practices. So that's one issue. I think that it's hard for people in recovery to accept the fact that another opiate is part of the answer. It's counterintuitive to the recovery, to the recovery community, including 12-step communities. But there's a lack of appreciation, I think, for people who haven't gone through opiate dependency, on just how significant the physical piece is, and how different that is from other substances. So that's another uphill battle, I think.
I think that's really a key component that you're talking about. And, you know, you talked about really that the developing the continuums of care of, you know, treatment linked to further treatment and how that's a key, especially with medication management and the psychotherapy going hand in hand. When you talk about meeting the standard of care, can you talk more about exactly what that means to our listeners?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. The good news is it's fairly simple. So in my practice, I believe we really do meet these simple standards of care. So the first one is clients get a combination of therapy and medication that is coordinated between providers. So the physician and I are 25 feet apart and sometimes meeting together with the client depending on the need, and we are constantly collaborating around client needs. So there's a coordination of care there. There's not this, you know, there's no separation. So that's really critical. The other standard of care is, you know, we offer a warm, welcoming, and dignified environment, and that has to be the standard of care with addiction.
Yes.
Right? And,
absolutely.
And another piece that's critical is, you know, many, many clients, over half of our clients, have a diagnosable mental health issue, right? So that's not unusual in any, you'll find that in any setting for that treats addiction. And because of my area of specialization is co-occurring disorders, I'm able to treat the clients in a integrated way, addressing both mental health and substance abuse issues simultaneously, providing them with the proper education, and making sure that if there's a mental health issue that's linked to their addiction, that's being adequately addressed. So those, you know, simple things really, to my mind, make a huge difference in terms of treatment outcomes. And we just need to make sure those elements are there. And guess what? You know, the recovery rates are astounding.
Are you able to share, have you been collecting any data or research, or can you just talk a little bit about sort of how you talk about, you've really simplified, you know, everyone, I think we can complicate systems, but you've really eloquently talked about these standards of care, but can you also talk about some of the success that you're seeing in using these standards of care that you just spoke about?
Sure. We recently did a sort of internal survey to see, to be able to articulate empirically our outcomes, even though, you know, we know that we're doing well because we're constantly surrounded with clients who are doing well. But we did try to, you know, make that more available for other people. And we looked at clients who had been in our program for at least 3 months. And of that group of clients, and I think it was 50-something clients, 97% of them had over 9 months clean time.
Wow.
So, you know, that's why I'm able to look my clients in the eye and say, you just stick with this, it's going to work. So that you know, number even surprised us a bit, but that's what it was. You know, it was just on a daily basis, I might have 30 clients come through the office, and if we get more than two positives, I'm pretty shocked.
That's really stunning information that you're sharing. Once again, for our listeners who are tuning in right now to our show, we have Dr. Mark Bono here, who's a licensed addictions psychologist and the co-owner of the Center for Compassionate Recovery in Madison, focusing most exclusively on the treatment of opioid addiction. And really, I hats off to you and your staff for this amazing work that you're doing. It's such a hot topic now. You know, we keep hearing about this, you know, the opioid crisis. I recently heard there were over 1,000 deaths just for 1 month in Connecticut because of opioid addiction. And clearly, it sounds like you really have a formula that is really working for those that are struggling. And I think it's really poignant, again, that you're really talking about that therapy and medication needs to be coordinated together, and it's really all about collaboration and welcoming the client where they are when they come in and making them feel welcome and dignified. And I think it's really important too to stress that the co-occurring disorders are being addressed together, mental health and substance abuse, because we know from addiction that we see a lot of, you know, mental health disorders that a lot of times are, you know, folks are medicating themselves, right, because of all these issues. And I'm assuming, Mark, that you see a gamut of ages. So what age group are you seeing typically, and are you seeing one set of the age of folks coming in, or is it really the gamut of, you know, 20 to older?
Well, the youngest client I've ever had is 17, but I would say my average client is probably in their late 30s, but that's quite a big spread there. So I definitely have many clients over 50 and quite a few clients in their early 20s. So it really ranges, you know, probably averaged out to late 30s, but that's because of such a diverse group in terms of age.
Mm-hmm. So thank you so much. I invite our listeners to hear more about Dr. Bono and his treatment, medication-assisted therapy, at the Connections upcoming conference. It's called Addictive Disorders, and the conference will take place on Monday, October 23rd, or Tuesday, October 24th. Dr. Bono will be there both days, and he is speaking both days in a breakout session, so you can choose to sit in and learn more about this very important topic.
And Beth, can you share how, if people would like to sign up and attend our conference, how they can do so?
Absolutely. So the conference will be held at Wesleyan University, as you said, Lisa. Wesleyan University is located right in the heart of Middletown, Connecticut. Each day, Monday or Tuesday, the event runs from 9 o'clock to 4:30, and the cost to attend is only $100, and that does include a continental breakfast and a lunch, as well as the ability to hear fabulous speakers throughout the day. We have keynotes, we have breakout sessions, so there are some choices as to what you'd like to hear more about. Some folks are interested in, you know, one topic over another, and so we want folks to be able to do that. It's just going to be a great day, and we look forward to seeing lots of folks there. It's important to note, too, that we are giving out CEs and CEUs for the conference, and we do require pre-registration for the conference. You can just call our number at 860-343-5500, extension 1602, by October 19th to register.
And I'd like to thank you again, Dr. Bono, for calling in. I know that your time is needed, and you're off to take care of some other things right now. But I would like to welcome you back at some point to the show where we could talk further about this this, the opioid addiction and some other work that you're doing. I want to thank you again so very much for being on today. And I am really looking forward to hearing you speak at our conference and look forward to setting up an additional time for you to be on the show that we can, you know, spend the entire show talking about the opioid crisis. So once again, thank you for your great work, and we look forward to having you on at a later time.
I really appreciate the opportunity to come on, and I would definitely welcome the offer to come back and speak at greater length.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
All right.
We'll see you soon.
Have a good day.
You too. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Once again, we want to thank our listeners for joining us today. We had been talking in the first part of our show with Mark Bono, who, as I said, is a licensed addiction psychologist and the co-owner for the Center of Compassionate Recovery. And again, he's had a lot of success focusing almost exclusively on the treatment of opioid addiction. So we will definitely have him back on the show. I'm going to turn this over now more to talk with Beth Connor, who's my our Chief Strategy Officer at The Connection, to talk some more to our listeners about this exciting conference that we have coming up that you folks may find interesting, whether you're in the field or in college or in school or thinking about you might be interested in addictive disorders, or for those of you tuning in who may be interested in coming and hearing more about this amazing forum that we have. I'm going to ask you, Beth, to talk a little bit about some of our breakout sessions and what they are composed of.
So we've got a great lineup. We're so excited about this year's conference. Again, Monday, October 23rd or the 24th. So you do have a choice of days. We actually repeat much of the content each day so that we can get more people into this important topic. Again, Wesleyan University, right in downtown Middletown. There is free parking. It is at Usedon University Center. That's where registration begins. But we do require pre-registration for this event, and that can be had by calling 860-343-5500, extension 1602, before October 19th. Again, the $100 registration fee does encompass lunch and breakfast, as well as the ability to hear some fabulous speakers. Our day begins each day with a video address from Senator Chris Murphy, who, as you know, Lisa, is very interested in the topic of opioid addictions.
Yes, he is.
And has done a lot for our state in terms of advocating for this important, for resources to be added to this important topic. We also have a keynote address each day by Dr. Kathleen Maurer, who is the Director of Health and Addiction Services, as well as the Medical Director for the Connecticut Department of Correction. And she's going to be speaking about treating substance use disorders in the correctional population, which is quite a challenge amongst those folks. From everything I hear, she's a fabulous speaker, and we're very happy to be welcoming her to our program as well. Other breakouts during the course of the day, and again, folks will have choices of what breakouts they might like to attend. The breakouts are a little over an hour apiece. They range from virtual addiction, so addictions to internet technology, which is, you know, an interesting topic. We also have another topic of eating disorders, and which is another addiction that people face. So when people think about addictions, they may think about drug addictions or alcohol addictions or gambling addictions. There are so many different types of addictive disorders.
And definitely.
This conference really will sort of overview many of them and talk about not only what these addictions are comprised of and how to know when one does have one of these addictions, but also resources for help. And I think that's the key piece. We'll talk a little bit about the biology of addictions. We'll talk about some recovery coaching, the importance of peer supports in addictions. Oftentimes folks that have been there, that's an important way for folks with addictions to recover from their addictions is by working with someone that's been there. And we have a few folks that have graduated from connection programs who have faced their own addictions and successfully conquered them and are leading very productive lives.
And I think that's always exciting, Beth, when we have our consumers that come to our conferences and really talk about the struggles that they've had in their lives and how treatment helped and how they give back to the community. And they, as I've said before in other shows that we've done, really inspire hope and a belief that a new pathway can be set. And I'm excited that we're going to be having some consumers here. And I also see, which I'm really excited about, we had done a show prior on gambling, and we have one of the sessions called Disordered Gambling, The Hidden Addiction. So I'm excited about that. So we're going to be not only hitting eating disorders, but also gambling disorders.
So I just want to mention one more time for our listeners, as I think our show is just about to wrap up, that if you are interested in joining us at the Connections Conference, it's Monday, October 23rd, or Tuesday, October 24th, from 9 to 4:30 each day. Check-in begins at 7:45. You do need to be pre-registered for this event, and registration is only $100 for the entire day, including breakfast and lunch. You can do that by calling Nancy at 860-343-5500, extension 1602, and we'd appreciate that registration by October 19th.
In addition to, at the end of the day, we're going to be having a holistic approach to health and well-being, which really could benefit all of us, and really how you can take care of yourself irregardless of whatever battle you're dealing with, and that self-care, how important that really is, you know, to all of us. I was really moved today, Beth, by having Dr. Bono on to really talk about, you know, the opioid addiction, and there's so much attention that's, you know, brought to that, and how he so eloquently talked about really it's about treating the therapy and the meds and how that's really coordinated together, and the ongoing collaboration of looking at all the issues, mental health and substance abuse. And again, something that I know that we believe in at The Connection is really having a standard of care that's warm, welcome, and dignified for folks coming in, because we know that the consumers that we serve, you know, come from all walks of life, and it's really important that we meet them, you know, where they are. But also, everyone deserves to be treated with dignity when they come in or when they're having a problem. And I know that, you know, for myself, in having, you know, dealt with some family issues that have had some pretty serious medical issues, and, you know, you're, whether it's medical or mental health or substance abuse, to really have someone there, that first point of contact, I think, is so key. When you see that a person is really invested in your success and really cares about you and makes eye contact and you're feeling supported, that's what we all need when we reach a certain point of our life, when we feel like we've
really,
you know, reached the bottom of the barrel. So thank you all again, folks, our listeners. We appreciate that you tune in to us every Sunday to hear our show. And we look forward for your return. And again, if you're interested in any of the programs offered at The Connection, you can access our website at www.theconnectioninc.org. And Beth, do you have any final closing words?
Well, you can also go to the website for registration on the Addictive Disorders Conference. So please join us. We look forward to seeing you there.
And we would like to thank our listeners again for tuning into, once again, our show, WTIC News Talk 1080.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once, once in a lullaby.